It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're devoting today's program to the influence of the millennial generation in Pittsburgh. Why are they important to the economy and the community at large? And what matters most to them?
I choose to live in Pittsburgh because I believe that there are infinite possibilities for leadership. There are infinite possibilities to create, to build relationships, to really get to know your neighbors and to be close with family and friends.
I came originally for school and then life happened. You know, I ended up having a family here and I've stayed just because it's an extremely affordable city. It's filled with great people and it's a lot of fun. I think it's the same answer as almost anybody has that I've ever talked to, is that exact same thing. You come here and then you just fall in love with the place.
Ultimately, I'm here because I see a lot of potential physically, as far as like space, as being this unique city town. Also just like the people I know, I believe in them and the projects that they're doing.
We sort of have a great city because it's an East Coast city, but it sort of has a Midwest type feel. Everybody's friendly, everybody welcomes you in. And I think our generation can be the next wave that spurs the next generation of lifelong Pittsburghers. And that's what we need to be known for.
Since 2008, there hasn't been much good news about the economy. But here in southwestern Pennsylvania, there has been at least one very positive trend. More people have moved into the region than left. And most of those tend to be young people. The region's population of 20 to 34-year-olds, or millennials as they are known, grew by 7% over the past 5 years, and it's expected to grow another 8% by the year 2020, according to an economic forecasting model run by researchers at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Social and Urban Research. I'm joined now by Christopher Bream, a regional economist at the University Center for Social and Urban Research at the University of Pittsburgh. Christopher Bream, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here.
And also joining us is social scientist and independent career consultant, Sasha King. Sasha, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Let's start by looking at the belief that southwestern Pennsylvania has a problem retaining and attracting young adults. Can that be put to rest based on the trends that we're seeing? Christopher, let's start with you.
Sure. And this is probably one of the more persistent myths. We have a great persistence of memory here in the region. If you think back 30 years, there was a period when, in fact, the economy was not generating, you know, jobs at all. We were destroying – jobs were going away. This was not a place, if you were a young working age person, that you would want to have stayed if you were looking for your future in the mid-1980s. And so we did have a lot of people leaving. And that's been consistent for 30 or 40 or possibly a half century at this point. So it's remarkable that, you know, right now we probably are bringing in more people into the region than are leaving. And it's reflecting the fact that sort of the economy is looking better than it has for quite a while. But, yeah, absolutely. We are not sort of losing the mythical young person is not fleeing Pittsburgh as much as everyone really continues to believe. Or some do. I think we're getting past that point now. But
Sasha, describe the makeup of new arrivals. Who are they?
New arrivals to Pittsburgh are usually young professionals who have built skills in advanced education, either at local universities or people coming from other regions that just need to build experience that they cannot build in the larger communities. For instance, if you're someone who wants to actually get experience doing work in technology, but you don't have strong enough skills to make it in, say, San Francisco, this would possibly be a good place to hone up on your skills before you move to a larger market.
All right. But aside from the size of the market, what is attracting millennials to Pittsburgh?
I think the factors would be decent pay in comparison to certain places. Also, another thing that's really a very big boon and positive aspect of Pittsburgh is cheap real estate. It is much cheaper to rent an apartment here than it is for many other regions of the country. So one of the things that I have found when I have talked to people who actually message me in places like LinkedIn and say, okay, I would like to relocate to Pittsburgh, what are rents like? Is it actually affordable to be here? I actually had a conversation with someone, I think about a week ago, about he had moved from Brooklyn, where he had had a job in the technology sector making very good money, but he got a much better job offer here in Pittsburgh and with much better affordable rent. He thought that he could possibly build a life and achieve a dream here. And one of the things that is really characterizing Pittsburgh right now is we are one of the top 10 cities in the country where the people feel as though the American dream can still happen. And it's really that link between having a decent standard of living in terms of getting paid and wages and actually having affordable real estate.
Now, Christopher, can the millennials take up the slack for baby boomers when it comes to filling jobs?
Well, so young working millennials, young working age people are the most mobile people on the planet, right? So if we have the job opportunities here, I mean, and that are attractive in terms of good pay, and all these other quality of life factors, you know, I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to bring them here. So, you know, the question at the end of the day is Pittsburgh competing well against all these other regions that are also sort of suffering from, you know, an older generation moving on? In fact, we probably don't have the same baby boom leaving the workforce problem as most places do, because if you roll back, who left 30 years ago in the mid-1980s were pretty much folks in the middle of that baby boom generation. So it's true. It's a problem everywhere. But I have a feeling that if you can attract – if this is a good place to live, young working age people, millennials will come for sure.
How well educated are these millennials?
Well, so here in Pittsburgh, one of the most fundamental changes in Pittsburgh has been the shift from this tremendously blue-collar workforce, which provided great careers and opportunities for folks just out of high school or without a high school degree. As the economy has changed, Pittsburgh today, you know, has these industry job generators that demand a lot of educational attainment. So in Pittsburgh, the young working age population is arguably the most educated in the country. People don't quite fully realize how far off the chart we are, but we're up there with places that have long been considered sort of the concentrations of college graduates, you know, Boston and New York or D.C. or places like that. Pittsburgh's right up there.
What else do they bring to the region, Sasha?
One of the things that they bring to the region is also a level of diversity. One of the things that's also changing in Pittsburgh is you're starting to see some small demographic changes in terms of people bringing international backgrounds and also people bringing racial and ethnic backgrounds of sticking in Pittsburgh that weren't here beforehand. So that's one thing that's going to be a big change for the millennial generation. Another thing I think that the millennials really bring in terms of the workforce is they really bring a passion for social justice and integrity. One of the things that people don't know about Pittsburgh is the home of many nonprofits per capita in comparison to a city of its size. And one thing that many millennials here do is they commit to doing service before they actually enter the workforce. They actually help a lot of those nonprofits, but also they're at the forefront. One of the things we have is a service summit, where we actually have a growth in millennials starting their own nonprofits or actually growing in the industry here.
We're talking with Sasha King, social scientist and independent career consultant, and Christopher Bream, a regional economist at the University Center for Social and Urban Research at the University of Pittsburgh, about millennials. Sasha, when people hear the term millennials, they may not know exactly specifically to whom we are referring and what is specific to the characteristics of this particular generation. Who are the millennials and what makes them different from previous generations?
Okay, millennials, it's funny about the demography on them. Now, some demographers say that the millennials began around roughly 1980, 1981. Some of them will actually, other demographers will say that this group is from, 1978 to, 1994. So roughly you're talking about people between the ages of 18 and 34. So what are the things that they really consider important and what are their values? Their values include things like freedom of choice. So they are really open to different types of lifestyle changes and choices. Why did this happen? One of the things that was really characterized the 90s was a growth of multiculturalism and then understanding that other people's lifestyles are acceptable. So you saw a growth and an understanding of different types and ways of living could be acceptable for other people.
But we've seen this in other generations.
Not to the same extent. Really? One of the things that they're found in study after study, whether it's musical choices, friendships, or even interracial dating. While the other previous generations may have said that they actually espouse those values, millennials are actually living it. They're actually more likely to date or marry someone of a different race. If they do participate in marriage, they're also more likely to have multicultural friendships. So while it may have started with the boomers, with the civil rights movement, it's really the people who embody those principles the most and being open to different types of people and different types of cultures really are the millennials.
And how else do the relationships look for this particular demographic?
And what terms? Are you talking about romantic relationships or friendships?
Let's talk about romance.
Okay.
Because certainly the baby boomers brought something to the table, which that would be a whole other show. What are the millennials bringing to the table?
I think it's going to go definitely going to say, keeping with what I said earlier about how the millennials are kind of practicing things that perhaps their boomer parents espoused.
Such as?
The hookup culture. Okay. So for those of you who are not familiar with what hookup culture is, hookup culture is having a single or series of kind of short-term romantic engagements that people frequently have. And these romantic engagements can include something like a makeout session, or I will leave it to your imagination, or a little bit more.
So you're saying that maybe not being as inclined to commit to a relationship.
Yes, that's one of the things that it has characterized the millennials, is they're less likely to seek out long-term committed relationships. Now, 61% of millennials do plan on marrying eventually, but due to issues with financial stability and issues of just changes in societal attitudes, there's just less of a need for many millennials to form long-term steady relationships that perhaps some of their forefathers formed. In contrast to this, you actually have a dichotomy kind of like between the people who are really into hookup culture and then another group of people who actually look at relationships as almost kind of like this sacred entity. And so this group of people almost fears relationships and kind of eschews and avoids them because they're so nervous about making a long-term commitment and it being so special.
So things are happening later in their lives.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it has as much to do with the social science aspect of it as it does with economics.
Economics and also the trauma that many of them are survivors of divorce. That's a bigger factor too.
How about religion?
Religion is huge. This is one of the big changes from this generation, previous generations, is we have seen the largest group of people claiming new religion. So what does no religion mean in this case? The rise of nones mean people that roughly about, according to Pew Research, about a third of the population. These are people who are either atheist, agnostic, or have no particular religious belief. Part of the reasons why you've seen this growth is the deadly mix of religion plus politics, as noted by Amazing Grace, which is a wonderful read on this subject, has really turned certain percentages of the population off of organized religion. Also, another reason why you see this decline is you saw a delay in marriage. One of the things traditionally young people do is, okay, you get married, you got involved in a religious community, and because also people are socially disengaged and are not as involved in communities as they once possibly were, that's another factor in it. And also, we've just seen an increase in wealth and education. And one of the things that we've known through social sciences for the ages is that whenever you see an increase in the number of people achieving higher education and a certain amount of comfort level in terms of their economic well-being, then they will actually tend to become less religious. So those are some of the factors.
Interesting. Well, let's go get back to the economics. And Christopher Bream, how does the Pittsburgh economy look for people in their 20s and their 30s right now?
Well, the answer I always like to give is it's not an absolute question. It's a relative question because, again, everyone's making choices. So if I'm a young working age person, you know, I'm out there wherever I am. I'm choosing where I want to live. So it's really, am I doing better than – is Pittsburgh doing better than a lot of the other regions that we're competing against? And so in that sense, Pittsburgh's been doing very well. We are now at about – we're in our eighth year, well into our seventh year, of unemployment rate being lower than the national rate. That is sort of an unprecedented paradigm shift for Pittsburgh where things have historically been pretty much worse. Net job growth in a lot of the regions that we usually trade population with, Detroit and Cleveland, have suffered pretty badly through the most recent Great Recession. They're coming back, but sort of as they've suffered through that, I think a lot of folks were making the choice to be here in Pittsburgh or to not move away. So in that sense, I think Pittsburgh's sort of at a unique point that, again, we are maybe why we're here. There are more folks moving here. Not a lot, but certainly more so than are leaving, which is a paradigm shift for Pittsburgh.
And what are the implications of all of this for the future?
Well, you know, demography is destiny, right? So Pittsburgh is again, defined by a lot of population loss over the last half century. So even a bit of stabilization means a very different planning paradigm for the future. I think we have communities now that are not only stabilized but growing in terms of population, or hopeful that it will grow in the future. That's not to say we don't have a lot of communities that are still very challenged, and you might see a reshuffling of communities within the region that are going to be growing and succeeding, whereas others will not. But nonetheless, if the pie is growing bigger, at least stable, not shrinking, it sort of resets the table for how you sort of look toward the future for most everything else in the region.
Christopher Bream has been our guest. He's a regional economist at the University Center for Social and Urban Research at the University of Pittsburgh. And also joining us, Sasha King, social scientist and independent career consultant. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll look at how Pittsburgh millennials are changing where we work as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.